The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, we saw the wheat trade do its best to work higher again on Thursday, with the soy complex coming under a little bit of pressure, corn caught in the middle, and mixed activity in the livestock trade too, and heavy pressure early, especially on Thursday, in the stock markets. We're going to talk about all of that more here today on Market Talk. Thanks for joining us on the program. Jesse Allen with you here. Got an exciting show for you today. Coming up, we're going to talk with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing later on in the program, recap Thursday's market action and how things have been trading here this week. Looking forward to our usual conversation with Brian coming up here at segment 3 and 4. Before that, in segment 2 today, we're going to welcome a new voice to the show, Craig Turner with StoneX. He's going to join us for a conversation. They got a webinar coming up here talking about marketing corn in a low-priced environment. And that's something that I think is going to fit well here with the show. I'm excited to learn more about that webinar, a little bit of a preview, and talk markets with Craig Turner from StoneX. He's going to join us here in segment 2, so coming up in just a little bit. So a lot of market information coming your way here on today's program. Again, markets, the wheat trade, maybe getting a little overbought here, but continuing to try and find some strength on Thursday. Soybeans, finding a little bit of pressure there. We've seen some farmers selling in quarter beans that I think has capped some of this recent rally. Meantime, concerns about HPAI and the news cycle again affecting this cattle market at midweek. We're going to talk about just a mixed bag across the board in grains and livestock on Thursday, as well as some of that pressure in the outside markets with the GDP numbers released on Thursday. First up, let's get some comments on the market action from Arlen Suderman with StoneX, joining us for our midday commentary once again on Thursday. You can find that anywhere you download your favorite podcasts on the Market Talk feed. Let's listen in, get some thoughts on the grain action, the stock market pressure, and the livestock trade from Thursday. Here's Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX.
Yeah, we're continuing to see that chart-driven short-covering rally in the wheat market on concerns because the funds had such big short positions or sold positions that they're unwinding them, and now the charts are turning, which is encouraging more as we're trading above the 100-day moving average. And there's really not a lot of farmers selling to offset it, so it just keeps the path of least resistance thus far, even though we're getting in overbought territory, is to go higher for wheat for now, although at some point the funds are going to say, okay, maybe we've priced too much problems in, but for now, the problems continue in U.S., Europe, and in Russia. As we look at the corn and soybean markets, a little different story there impacting the markets. As we see corn encouraged by strong export sales this morning, they've really been on a pretty good demand note really the last few months. So with cheap prices buying demand for corn, that be on the ethanol side and on the export side and on the livestock feeding side. So we're getting some support from corn, also stronger wheat prices supporting it. Beans, though, had a very disappointing export sales report and just not a lot there to support it fundamentally right now, with Brazil undercutting us in prices and export demand dropping off. And soybeans are seeing some double-digit losses.
Outside markets, we got pressure in the stock market here on Thursday. First quarter GDP numbers out on Thursday as well. Talk about some of this this downward move in the stocks and the outside markets here today.
Yeah, the GDP numbers overall looked encouraging from a standpoint that bad news is good news. In other words, bad news means that the Fed can cut rates sooner, right? And so the initial headline numbers, the market responded positively, showing that the first quarter GDP, or gross domestic product, grew at an annualized rate of 1.6%, down from 3.4% the previous quarter and below analyst expectations of 2.3%. But then they dug a little bit deeper and found the PCE price inflation data in there for the first quarter. And it showed that we saw the biggest inflation in the first quarter that we have seen in the last year. In fact, the core, and that was at 3.4%, and the core PCE price index that excludes more volatile food and energy components rose 3.7%. So on that data, we saw Treasury yields then surge to nearly six-month highs. And most interesting of note probably was the two-year probing back above the psychological five percent level. It's trading right at 5% now, so it's pulled back a little bit. That's going to be a pivotal level. But as Treasury yields went up, the dollar went up also, creating some headwinds for the commodities. So I'd say that makes the gains that we're seeing in wheat and at times in corn even that much more impressive on a day like today.
Livestock trade, real quick, kind of a mixed bag there. Hogs finding some pressure. Cattle trying to hold on here as we still have some of those HPAI concerns out the news cycle, it looks like.
Yeah, and I would say it's impressive that we're actually starting to come off of our lows in live cattle futures and seeing a little bit of green periodically on the screen. The HPIA story of bird flu in dairy cows got a little bit worse yesterday when the federal government announced mandatory testing for dairy cows in order to cross state lines. And that sets a bad precedent if and when we see the virus found in a beef animal of any kind, be it a cow feeder or slaughter-ready steer or whatever. That would create some problems with that precedent. And so the funds had been liquidating once again. And to see a little bit of stability in here is a positive. We did get a cold storage report out yesterday, and on the lean hog side, it showed some friendly news with supplies of pork in the freezer getting pretty tight. In fact, total pork stocks at 464 million pounds are down 13% from this time last year, and the smallest total for this time frame that we had in our data set.
And once again, Arlen Suderman there with StoneX joined us for our midday commentary on the day Thursday. We're recapping the most recent cattle on feed report as well. Got some comments from Dr. Darrell Peel, Oklahoma State University livestock market economist, looking at that report released last week.
This April cattle on feed report put placements in the month of March down 12% from a year ago. Marketings in the month of March were down 14% from a year ago. And the April 1 on-feed total was 11.82 million head. That's still up 1% over last year's numbers.
Peel says feedlot inventories have been above the year-ago numbers for the seventh month in a row, but there have also been months with some surprisingly large placements.
If you actually look at the last 6 months, on average, there's placements have been down about 2.5% if you sum them up for the whole 6 months. And that would explain most of the cattle that are in the feedlot right now. If you look at the trend over time, we are placing less cattle because there is less cattle. And we know that. We've known that for quite some time.
And looking at the marketing numbers, Peel says there is a lot of seasonality to these trends when evaluating each month as the percent of the cattle on feed for that month. Peel adds the average for the last 12 months is the slowest marketing pace since 1997. Again, that's comments with Oklahoma State University livestock market economist Dr. Darrell Peel. All right, coming up next here on Market Talk, we're going to discuss marketing corn in a low-price environment and talk this week's market action with a new voice here on the program, Craig Turner from StoneX. He's going to join us here on the other side of this timeout. We'll be back with more on Market Talk on the way right after this.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us now here on Market Talk, we welcome a new voice into the Market Talk family and discuss some of the action in this grain market as of late, and also talk about marketing corn in a low price environment. Now, we're going to discuss all of that and more today with Craig Turner from StoneX joining us here on the show today. Craig, thanks for making the time to join us on Market Talk. Welcome in. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start. I want to get to that topic of marketing corn in a low price environment. That's the title of an upcoming webinar you guys are hosting here with StoneX in just a matter of days. But as we get to that point and kind of set things up, I just want to talk to you a little bit about some of this grain market action we've seen the last couple of days. This wheat trade, there's the weather concerns out there. Fund short covering, it seems like here. Saw that continue Thursday. Corn and soybeans to some degree kind of getting pulled along too, but really wheat has been the bright star here, it seems like, in this grain trade in the last couple of sessions, Craig.
Yeah, absolutely. Wheat's the leader. Okay. And you know, the funds are heavily short wheat and they're coming out. You take a look at what's going on in the southern plains, it's dry. There's concern about that hard red winter wheat crop. I take a look at soft red winter wheat, Chicago, we got 6.25 million acres for new crop. That's going to be low when we have the WASD release those new crop figures. Russia, you know, we have dryness in basically the southern part of Russia, and that's a big wheat producing area. India is concerned about their stocks. They may have to import. And now we're hearing about not just, you know, dry conditions in Europe, but a freeze. You add that all together, we're getting a rally here, and we're going to hit resistance point soon. Probably around 670, 660 in Chicago wheat. And, you know, in Kansas City, we can still go through maybe 650 here. But it's tight, and it's helping the other markets go up higher.
Yeah. And to your point, some of those resistance areas, you know, one has to wonder, we go up too quick, too soon. Do we get into overbought territory? Do them charts start to look a little top heavy? I think that's probably the main concern, I think, for maybe some folks who are especially farmers, maybe looking to price in some wheat or lock in some floors, things like that. I mean, there's probably some concern here. To your point, we could maybe get overbought if we overdo this too quick here, Craig.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you take a look at the ending stocks in the United States, we're still okay. There's no shortage of wheat, even though we are a little bit tight. You know, the United States has plenty of hard red winter wheat for ending stocks. Spring wheat's a little tight, and you can see that not just in the United States, but also in Canada with export prices and basis. And the thing is, with the Chicago wheat, even if that does get a little bit tight, corn's a pretty good substitute for a lot of things, especially on the, you know, on the feed side. And then there's enough hard red winter wheat, you know, for the food side. So I think that, you know, that is, so that's one part. And then, you know, on the other part here, you know, we are hitting technical resistance, you know, on the chart. So, you know, it's nice to get a rally this time of year. It's a lot of short covering. I don't know how much more new buying is coming in. And, you know, and also too, I will say this, there's still a pretty big carry in the wheat market. So, you know, you look at May to December, and it's not like we're going to an inverse here. We're still much at a 55 to 60 cent carry, which just tells me there's nothing structurally wrong with the wheat market. And it's, you know, guys have been waiting to layer in sales. Now's an interesting time to do that, or, you know, look at collars to the downside.
Well, Craig, you mentioned corded soybeans. I want to talk about that. When you sent me the topic of the webinar, marketing corn in a low price environment, I got a little giddy because we love to talk about that here at Risk Management on the show. Feels like wheat has been supportive for corded beans, but largely corded beans maybe being capped by some farmers selling as of late. Talk to me about the current moves in the corded bean markets and some of that idea of marketing here in this volatile environment.
Yeah. So with corn, for example, we are at about a 2 billion carryout, and we're at a 14% stock to usage. And before the inflation of COVID, that would have meant corn trades in a range between 350 and 425. And a lot of us in these markets from, let's say, from 2013 to 2019, like, remember that, right? But now with the 15 to 20% inflation, we're really more of a four to five and a quarter type market here. To really break out in over five and well into over five, the market needs to believe we're at a 10% stock to usage or a risk of going there, because that's really when things get tight and you have to start price rationing. The problem is, with 90 million acres of new crop and a trend line yield, we're actually adding 400 to 500 million bushels on ending stocks. And, you know, we could have a stock to usage of 16 or 17%. Not only is that burdensome, we haven't seen that level since 2005. Before ethanol and RFS. So, you know, in You can always get a drought. You can always get a lot of demand to come in, but China doesn't really want to buy from us unless we have to. There is other grain and oil seeds around the globe. Because of the high price of labor and land here in the United States, we tend to be the residual supplier of grain and oil seeds. So there's just a challenge when we get these weather rallies up into, you know, the high fours, low fives, until something drastically changes with acres or with yield, we got to use that to our advantage. And whether that's selling carry in the new crop or selling the old crop, whether we're writing calls and buying puts, there's a lot of different ways to go about it. Selling straddles to, for the short term, like on old crop. And we'll be talking about that on Tuesday in our webinar. But when we do the math here, it's just, listen, I would love to be bullish. My business is better when the market's bullish. So is Stone X. So is all the farmers. People like me more. My wife likes me more. But it's tough. This year or next year, it's just odds are we're a range bound market and we just got to take what the market gives us.
To that point, yeah, you got to be a smart marketer in this window. You got to have a plan and you got to be, not afraid to stick to it. Right, Craig?
Yeah, you got to stick to it. And even like now, we have this rally and it's like, okay, well, how far are we going to go up? If we can hit our targets on new crop at 480 or better, if we can start, taking a look at selling the carry for next year or even 2025, I think it's easier to make those decisions when you understand what are the realistic ranges in stocks usage. Like if we take away or add 1 million acres, or if we're going to be a 177 or a 182, like how does that affect price? I mean, just so everyone listening knows, to get back to a tight stock to usage next year for 2025, we got to be at 83 to 84 million acres with a trend line yield. I mean, what are the odds of us going to have 84 million acres? So, if now we can certainly be 177 or 175 or 173, but those are weather rallies. They're not demand rallies. So they tend to be short lived. So if we just think of 350 to 425 before COVID is now the, let's say, $4 to 525 or 550. We start getting into that top end, top, let's say, third or 40% of pricing. We got to sell a little. We got to layer into it. We got to be disciplined about it. If we were tight coming into this year at 10% stocks usage or lower, a couple of years ago, I was saying, we don't have enough acres for new crop to get back to adequate stock levels, which was true in 21 and 22. That's not the case now. So we just got to be a little bit more, you said it, disciplined with, using the rallies. And this is the time to rally. To start, getting a little bit more serious about sales.
Yeah, the eternal optimist in me, and I'm sure many folks as well, wants to be bullish. But to your point, I mean, the way things are showing up right now, you got to be smart and maybe in some cases take what the market gives you here. Craig, real quick, as you look at corn, beans, wheat, is there one complex in particular that maybe concerns you more right now? With seasonally, I know we tend to rally at this time frame, but is there one of these markets that you'd be a little more on edge with right now?
So I think that's a great question. We've been saying for a while, like the most bullish market is that Chicago wheat that gets tight the fastest. The thing with corn is if we go to a 17%, if we are 90 million acres and eventually around a trend line yield, my concern is we're testing four at harvest. Like that's really my concern. On soybeans, if we have 87 million acres and a 52 yield, ending stocks are over 400 million. We're at close to a 10% stock to usage. You account for inflation, the old $9 to $11 soybeans or $8.60 to $10 soybeans that we used to trade in is now 10 to 12. So I'm a little concerned about soybeans going to the low tens if things go really well. Plus also China just doesn't want to buy from us. And the South American estimates keep on now going higher instead of lower. So, if we can run up to $12 in new crop and beans and we can make a run at $5 in corn, this year might be the year where it's like, okay, let's make some sales and move on. Because when you say like, what am I most concerned about? I'm concerned about $4 corn and $10 soybeans in October is what I'm concerned about.
Great thoughts, Craig. And with that webinar again coming up on Tuesday, if folks want to join that webinar more, where can they get more information?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to the website grainsandoilseeds.com. Both those words are plural, grainsandoilseeds.com. It'll take you right to the StoneX page for to register for the webinar. And we'll go over how we determine supply and demand estimates, what they mean for prices historically, and then based on if we're going to be tight, abundant, adequate, kind of strategies you use, and we'll explain them.
With that, Craig Turter from StoneX, thanks for the time. We'll get you back on the show again soon.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, we saw the wheat markets find a little more strength on the day Thursday, and kind of a mixed bag in corded soybeans. Actually, that soy complex came well off its lows on the session. A good rebound in cattle, some pressure at hogs, stock market under some heavy pressure too on the day Thursday. Plenty to talk about and discuss. Joining us now for conversation, it's always good to talk with Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. Brian, how are you, sir? Thanks for joining us again this week.
I'm pretty good, except when I look at the stock market today, down about 500 right now, which may be one of the reasons we're seeing a little bit of strength, particularly in wheat, is perhaps we're seeing money flow start to move out of short positions in wheat and look for other value other than equities and maybe overpriced stocks. So that might be in the market today.
Yeah, and I know this wheat rally, a lot of it's been seemingly weather has been the catalyst here. But to your point, you know, maybe that stock market giving us a little more reason to move some money in there. And it feels like a lot of fund managers have been covering those short positions in this wheat trade. And that's kind of rising tide lifted all boats, so to speak. It's helped quarter beans to some degree, I think, this week as well, Brian.
It has. It certainly has. And there's been some pretty good push in wheat. So as we speak, I'm looking at different charts. And one of the charts, just, you know, for argument's sake, is I'm looking at December Chicago wheat contract low 565 and three quarters. Today's high 664. That's a dollar rally in that contract. And the front month have had strength as well. July Chicago up nicely here, just from a week ago, down near 550, now 620-ish area. 70-cent rally, well off the lows. Yeah, if you're a fund manager, you might have been bailing out on wheat this week. We had a nice downward channel line from our previous high connecting the dots back in early April. Market pushed down below that, kept under that line. But then once it pushed through it here on the 22nd, it's just been straight up 4 days in a row. So I think a lot of this is liquidation with the backdrop of dry conditions, more so important in the Black Sea region and then the Southwest United States, where conditions are said to be deteriorating quite rapidly. And I think that's your story right now in wheat.
Are you worried we could overdo it too fast, too soon in this wheat market potentially, Brian? Or do you think things are looking okay here in the short run?
I think in the short run, they're looking okay. I want to put this in the context. So I'm looking at July Chicago at 620. Back in July of last year was at $8. So we're still way off those highs. But we've moved up enough where we have to take notice and probably start to reward the rally. If you've got good looking wheat, there's nothing wrong with starting to sell ahead. This is the best price you've had since the last week of January to do so. Plus, the market's pushing up toward the 200-day moving average as the next resistance point. July Chicago, that puts you at 628. So got a nice pop in wheat prices moving into the spring. Time to probably take some defensive posturing through some cash sales or buy some puts. Yet it might be the start of bigger things. I will continue to contend that when prices get low, buying becomes lethargic. It's easy to be short. But when you start to turn the corner and then the perception changes, and it's like, well, you know what? We're at world wheat ending stocks at 5-year lows. We're at stocks to usage levels that go back 10 years. You're looking at export of wheat countries, maybe at 15-year low level supplies. And if the Black Sea region, particularly Russia, looks like they could come up short on crop expectations, which it leans that way right now, the market is maybe just, we're just starting to see the ship turn around here.
In terms of corned soybeans, been a little more cautious this week with the rally. I think wheat has definitely been supportive, but in that same thought process here, I think some of what's maybe capped the quarter bean rally has been maybe some farmers selling. Ryan, your thoughts on that? I've been hearing some of that chatter anyway. Wondering if you've heard the same, your feelings on where quarter beans sit right now.
No doubt some farmers selling, and it's probably keeping the top side in. It's April 25th, and as farmers look at the inventory, they've got to make sales and make moves. But on the other side of that coin, you know, we're seeing some basis improvement throughout the country, a lot of areas where it's needed, the end users looking for it, because farmers after the end of March aren't selling. So there's part of me looks at this and go, you know what? I think farmers that said, you know what, I'm not selling this stuff at the end of March, I'm going to hold it, they're not anxious to sell it unless they get a rally or they have time to sell it or both. Well, they've got some rally here. It isn't gigantic, but they're busy planting corn right now. They're not necessarily looking to move corn. So I don't think we have the same circumstances as we approach first notice day on the May contract. I don't think we have the same set of circumstances. First notice day is on Tuesday of next week. If you might remember, as we approach the first notice day toward the end of March, prices really came under pressure. So I don't think we're in that same situation right now.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask about that because I know we've seen that happen a couple of times here, especially with some folks having to roll some of their contracts with first notice days here in recent memory. But, you know, I look at corn here in this window, and to your point, farmers busy planting corn. But we talk a lot about this, kind of continuing our theme of discussion here, risk management. It's not a time to get complacent necessarily. I mean, if you have the ability to, you know, make a phone call while you're in the tractor cab and make sure you got some defensive posturing locked in here, it's not a time to get complacent here. There's tools in the toolbox, right, Brian?
We're not running out of corn anytime soon. Okay, so that's one thing. So the nation has plenty of corn, and it has 1 billion bushels more than a year ago at this time. So we're not running out of corn. So you got to continue to, I think, what I call trickle the corn out. So if you've been light on sales, start picking it up. You do have some of your better prices that you've seen in some time. To put things in perspective, July corn 452. Not that that contract's been a lot better, but remember March corn also traded under $4. So if we just fast forward ahead a little bit, or even look at the May contract, which bids will still be placed off of that 441, that's still 41 cents better than where March was just before earlier this winter, just before it got closer to its expiration. So reward the rallies, continue to trickle corn out. If you know how to, if you want to retain ownership and you know how to do it through buying a futures or buying a call option, ownership's an easy task, but you don't want to get caught with too much inventory moving into the summer.
Brian, livestock trade, cattle, here we go, HPAI back in the news again Wednesday, thinking doom and gloom, and then nice turnaround rally on Thursday in the cattle market, Brian.
Yeah, it really was a beautiful turnaround. Went down in feeder cattle, filled a gap this morning, and then turned around. Big outside day, which means it was larger than the previous day's trading range. Good underlying demand market. The media is not so friendly to uncertainty and talking about some of the flu issues. But I think this is what I saw. When I saw articles that said, oh boy, you know, this could be an issue, there was just as much pushback saying, well, look, it's not an issue. This isn't untypical to see this sort of thing pasteurized milk. There's lots of dead things in pasteurized milk if you get down to the micro level, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I think cooler heads are prevailing. I don't know, you know, the marketplace is finicky. But sometimes I wonder the way news changes hands so quickly in such a short period of time. You think about all the major news events over the last couple of weeks, you know, Iran, Israel, this, that, the other thing, you know, the election and then the Trump trial and this and that. You know, the people, their memories aren't that long. They don't have time to concentrate on something. So I think they want to, at least maybe this is my want to believe, okay, we have people on the job. They're going to try and make sure things are safe. And if they're telling us it's safe, it's safe. And then you got to move on. And it just, it doesn't have the drag that it used to have years ago or where, you know, it took a day or two to get in a newspaper. And then by the time you got a magazine, you know, a week's gone by and it's still percolating. Here it's in one day and out 2 days later.
Well, and to that degree as well, I know dairy saw some pressure with that news Wednesday, but then, you know, here we find some green on screen in the dairy market too on Thursday. So
in a big way,
the same story, it seemed like, Brian.
Yeah, in a huge way. So, and that's the, I mean, and that's the bigger picture is this, it's this, I'm just going to call it bird flu. Is this bird flu positive or negative for milk prices? I don't think nobody really knows. On the one hand, is the consumer going to back away from product or is this going to slow down the production?
Yeah.
And if the consumer doesn't back away and production's slow, well, all of a sudden you get like we have here. I look at milk three class three trading under $16 here early part of the month. And all of a sudden, you know, we're over $18. So that's a pretty good run. And the market vote seems to be more in line with fewer cows. We saw that on the production report on the 22nd. Maybe some slowdown in production with this bird flu, maybe slowdown in transporting cows, maybe a whole different way of looking at how to do business now with moving cows around and moving cattle around that could limit some supply if the consumer feels it's safe. You know, I can't imagine the average consumer pushing a cart down the aisle looking at the frozen pizza and the ice cream is going to make, I don't want to eat that. I don't see it. I think I'll throw it in the cart and go on.
Brian, great thoughts as always. If folks want to reach out to you and have a conversation, multiple ways to get in touch, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, best way is just a quick call, 800-334-9779. Love to listen. Otherwise, Brian with a Y at TotalFarmMarketing.com. Shoot me an email or check out our website, TotalFarmMarketing.com.
Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. Always good to chat with you, sir. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Jesse, my pleasure. Thank you.
Once again, always great to chat with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing joining us here today on the show. Coming up next, we will take a look at some of the closing numbers from Thursday's session and wrap up our program here today. Thanks for listening. Of course, we'll be back with more on Market Talk right after the break.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Stay up to date and listen to past episodes online at MarketTalkAg.com. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk here today. Thanks again to Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing for joining us, along with Craig Turner from StoneX joining us here on the show today. Appreciate both of them being with us here as we talk markets and more. And again, pretty decent day. Wheat leading grains on Thursday. Good rally in the cattle trade. Pressure of the hog market, though. I didn't get to talk about all that with Brian, but really just it felt like the hogs kind of just seeing some spread trade there. It felt like hogs against cattle. It seems like this hog market's doing a little bit of the opposite of what cattle have been doing here as of late. Also, maybe bumping up against some technical resistance, getting a little toppy in hogs. Weekly export sales numbers were not that great for hogs compared to where we have been. We did see 28,800 metric tons, but at times here earlier this year, we were double that number. So I think overall, just sentiment, money flow was not good for hogs on the day, whereas cattle rebounding from some of that negative HPAI news that we got on Wednesday that affected the trade. We saw beef net sales, 15,200 metric tons for the week, down 14% from the previous week. So still struggling a little bit there with beef export sales. Corn sales were good here this week as well, while we had pretty dismal soybean sales, and wheat was all right. For the weekend at April 18th, we saw an increase of 51.2 million bushels of corn for export sale. For the soybean side, just an increase of 7.7 million bushels, and the wheat side, 3 million bushels. So overall, corn definitely the shining star in weekly export sales numbers. Let's take a look at some of the closes on the day on Thursday. Let's start in the grain market. Corn, May, that was up 3.25 at 441. July up 3.5, 452. December quarter up 3.5, 476 and a quarter. May soybeans down 3.25, 1162 and 3/4. July down 1 3/4, 1179 and 3/4. November beans one higher, 1175 and a half. Soybean meal, May down 210 a ton, 343.90. July down $1.60 a ton, 347.60. May bean oil up 16 points, 44.82. We saw July bean oil up 16 points, 45.43. Chicago wheat, May, 7 3/4 higher, 602 and a quarter. July up 7.5 at 620 and a half. We saw December Chicago wheat, that was up 8 1/4, 662 and a quarter on the day. Kansas City HRW futures, May up 7 3/4, 632. July 10.5 higher, 640 and a half. December KC wheat up 10, 670 and 3/4. Spring wheat, May 12 higher, 691. July up 12 3/4, 698 and a quarter. December spring wheat up 11 at 717 and 3/4. Oats, May unchanged, 367. July down 2 3/4, 351. Canola trade down slightly, about 1 to 3 lower on the day. Cotton market, we saw May cotton up 7 points, 79.58. July cotton up 7 points, 81.08. Mixed bag in coffee, a little bit higher. Cocoa was moderately lower on the session. The dairy markets, mentioned that with Brian. Some good rebounds there with Class 3 milk getting back above $18. Over the livestock trade, live cattle, good rally again on the day. Thursday, April up 185, 183.95. June live cattle up 255, 177.80. August up 267, 176.05. Feeder cattle April 177 higher, 244.87. May up 215, 246.25. And August feeder cattle up $2, 258.30. Lean hogs, May 207 lower, 95.27. June hogs down 245 at 105. July hogs down 205 at 107.80. Again, the stock market's pretty dismal there. A lot of pressure at stocks, although we did our best to come off the lows on the Dow a little bit on the day. Thursday down a little over 400 points. And that's a recap of the markets from Thursday. Overall, again, pretty solid day to the upside, led by wheat again. Good day in cattle too. Nice rebound, mixed in corn and beans, pressure at hogs. Overall, though, not a bad day to write home on Thursday. Taking a look at a couple of news headlines here real quick before we run out of time on the show. USDA recently wrapped up a successful trade mission to India. Alexis Taylor, USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, says the first mission to India in 7 years was very productive.
We are wrapping up our second agriculture trade mission to India, and it's the third trade mission of 7 scheduled for 2024. We were last in India with a trade mission in October of 2017. We've seen a lot of positive reception in just the few days we've been here. We have the largest trade delegation of any ATM that I have been on. We have roughly 130 Americans with us, 23 U.S. agribusinesses, and 11 State Department of Agriculture represented in total.
She talks about why India was an attractive destination for trade mission.
One of the things I think we were really excited about to select India as a location for a trade mission is just some of the demographic changes we're seeing that are causing a really rapidly shifting demand for things like increased protein, more variety of products, and high-value food and agricultural products, things that the United States really excel in or can support and complement their existing agricultural sector here in India.
The U.S. exports a variety of agricultural products to India.
Our businesses have wrapped up 523 business-to-business meetings, and we've heard just really positive reception from those from our U.S. food and agricultural businesses that are here. Exports of U.S. agricultural products to India were nearly $2 billion last year, making India our 13th largest single country export market. Some of our top exports to India are horticultural products, and that's primarily driven by tree nuts, ethanol for non-fuel use or industrial use, and cotton.
And once again, that is USDA's Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, Alexis Taylor, talking about that trade mission to India that's wrapping up. And good thoughts there. I've said this before. I don't think we need to get too excited about India maybe being the new China for U.S. ag exports, but I definitely think there's some good opportunities there with India and the U.S. So hopefully some headway was made. All right, with that, we are out of time here on Market Talk today. Coming up on our next program, we are going to talk markets with Christy Van Onchesis with Van On and Company. Also, we will be talking about the power of the shovel. What does that mean with some early season crop scouting for establishment of roots in corn and more? Stephen Heitschu with AgriGold is going to join us. That's going to do it for Market Talk today, though. Thanks so much for being with us, as always. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.